Because in the first week, I actually didn't make any phone calls. The person just thought that I wasn't capable of doing the job.
An Italian person is probably most happy if they achieved a good solution and everybody was pleased. But it might take a little bit longer than the German approach.
A course will start on time, work will start on time, and the trains will run on time most of the time. And certainly this was a very different experience when I came over to this country.
One day my boss came to me and told me, you know, in this company, we don't work long hours. We don't need you to work long hours. And we do not like you coming at very long hours in the night.
This is Working Abroad. I'm Susan Fern, and with me in the studio to help you make the move to another country simpler is intercultural consultant Richard Cook.
Hello.
So, Richard, well, there's no rest for you today, I'm afraid, in today's programme, because it's all about time and what we mean by time. Isn't it just the same for everybody? 1 second in England is the same as 1 second in Peru.
That may be true on the physical quantity level, but what is different across cultures is the attitude, or the attitudes that people have to time and how we manage time, how we approach it in life, and I suppose different expectations people have.
So it's not the measurement of time, it's feelings about time that we're talking about.
Yeah, and that can have serious consequences if you get it wrong.
Time can change me, but I can't change time, as David Bowie once sung. Now, I don't know whether Mr. Bowie was just talking about getting older, but our German doctor, Chris Benden, also experienced time changing him, or at least experienced time changing his attitude to time. Confused? Well, here he is to explain.
I recently had a friend over from Germany visiting me here who actually told me, Chris, I have the feeling that you changed a lot over the years. I think you're less often on time and time seems to be less important for you nowadays.
So that's interesting, isn't it, Richard? Because Chris is now a little bit more relaxed about time. His friends actually think he's becoming less German. Why should that be the case? I mean, what's going on here?
When you look at time, according to the theory that's currently accepted, there are two categories of time. One is a monochronic attitude to time. And in monochronic time, things are linear. There's a straight line, there's a beginning, there's an end. And more importantly, there's one thing happening at a time.
So monochronic time, that's view of time as a line.
With events happening one after the other.
And what's the other?
Polychronic, where you've got a number of things that can be happening at the same time, that the actual attitude to time is much looser. So in the sense of who is the servant and who is the master, in cultures that are monochronic, and that would certainly be the German culture as well as our own, time is often the master. We are always short of time. There's never enough time. We have to manage time, and it's always escaping from us. In polychronic cultures, time is in abundance. People are the masters of time. We give time as we wish, when we wish, to whom we wish. And so there's a much more flexible approach and maybe more than one event occurring at the same time.
And you said that perhaps German and perhaps British culture tend to be monochronic. Can you give examples of polychronic cultures?
Well, a good example of a polychronic culture would be Latin cultures, Latin America, the Arab world, places where something else becomes more important. It's not just that they have a different attitude to time, but time takes a second or even a third place to other things that are much more important in that cultural environment. And what would be more important would actually be something like relationships, building trust with people. So how long should a meeting be? Can we have a 5-minute meeting? Not in some cultures, because that wouldn't be enough time to achieve those kinds of results of getting trust and building relationships.
We know that different cultures and countries have different attitudes to time, but surely when you're in one country, time should be fixed. Everyone's attitude to and experience of time should be very similar. Well, here's our Argentinian businessman, Federico, and our doctor, Chris, talking about life in Germany. Two people, one country, two experiences of time.
Here I think that they have a more life-oriented way of working. For example, I was working very long hours, coming from a different industry, different culture, different everything. I had to work very long hours because I thought it was, and still think, it's my job, is my responsibility. It doesn't matter how long it takes. And I was working very, very long hours until very late, very, very late at night, until one day my boss came to me and told me, you know, in this company, we don't work long hours. We don't need you to work long hours. And we do not like you coming at very
long hours in the night. So it's the policy of the company that you have your job done, but within the working time, not afterwards. So that time is for you. The time that is left is for you and for your family.
Very often here, we do go out after work. We meet in a pub. We sit down for an hour or so for a drink and just have a bit of chat, and we go out for dinner together. And this is something that did not happen to me before in Germany. There, it was very important to work as many hours as you can, to leave the hospital as late as possible. And therefore, I think the relationship with my working colleagues in Germany were very much limited to the working hours.
Richard, one country there, Germany, and yet two very different experiences of time at work. There's one guy who's working long hours and one guy who isn't. Why is this?
Well, I think in the first case, you've got a more traditional German situation where you've got a 9-to-5 situation, and Federico is clearly being told that that's where you should stop your work.
So the time's very clearly defined.
Very clearly defined, and that fits in with the stereotypical or generalisation about German attitudes to time. In the second example, you appear to have a total contradiction, and the way to understand this is that what we've got here occurring is an aspect of professional culture, which is the medical profession, where working long hours is fairly standard and pretty much the norm.
So what you're saying then is there are cultures within cultures, there are working cultures within the larger culture, and is this fairly common?
Oh, indeed, indeed. And sometimes it can have a greater impact on, particularly in the business world, than perhaps a national culture. So you have to know about these things in order to be able to effectively work.
Are these working cultures more likely to be international, to be shared, for example? Would you expect that doctors all over the world would work very long hours?
It's more than likely that that attitude will prevail right across different cultures. If you see a groups of lawyers get together, they'll see they have a lot of common ground, a lot of common norms and ideas and values. Likewise, doctors in international contexts as well.
So these are not just cultures within cultures, they can be cultures that are over and above national cultures. Supracultures.
Supracultures. I suppose you could look at them that way. I think the thing to keep in mind from this is that we must be careful about making too broad a generalisation about a particular culture, because we need to know a little bit more information, like, is there a professional culture involved, and what is it, and what sort of impact that's having, and also the individual. Some individuals may not necessarily accurately reflect the generalisation about that culture.
You're listening to Working Abroad from the BBC World Service, the series for people who want to work abroad. Today we're looking at time. Usually, differences in attitudes to time don't create significant problems between people. As people get used to how different countries operate, they're able to find ways of working successfully within those countries. But occasionally, things can go wrong. For example, for André, our Brazilian film producer, differences in attitude to time once lost him a job.
This was an office-based job. I was invited to work on a film production, on a project that was already happening. And someone else was doing all the paperwork and computer-based work and everything. So when I joined the project, I want to know what's happening, so please give me as much information as you can. And it took me about a week to go through all the paperwork and the computer to understand what was actually happening. And because my function was actually, you know, making phone calls and arranging things to happen, actually, and because in the first week I actually didn't make any phone calls, just because I wanted to know what was happening before even calling people and, you know, not having the answers, you know, like when they asked me some particular questions. The person just thought that I wasn't capable of doing the job, and without even telling me anything, she just came to me one day and said, "We don't need you anymore."
Oh dear, so a view of time there with serious consequences. But was this just a simple misunderstanding, Richard?
Well, I think a number of things are going on in this situation. I think time is at the centre of it, but connected with that is what we do with time. And I think in the UK particularly, you've got a time task culture. So we categorise tasks according to the amount of time, and we expect people to basically achieve things through doing tasks.
So we measure things a lot. We measure how long it takes to do things.
So if we said that somebody's making sales calls, we would actually measure how many sales calls could be made in a given period of time and then expect them to keep up with that particular measurement. the other side of it, and from the other person's perspective, I would imagine there is something about getting to know and having more in-depth knowledge and also building relationships with people.
So for him, relationships might be more important than time.
Certainly.
In his priorities, his cultural priorities.
I would imagine that that's what's going on, and that he would probably see that in week two, he would then be much more efficient and effective, having built good relationships and acquired good knowledge through those relationships and getting to know things, that he would then achieve the task. But by which time, of course, the people that he was working for thought that he wasn't functioning because they expected him to get down to task, devoid of any relationships, so being very functional within a given time frame.
So for this to really work, both sides need to be aware of the other's expectations.
Certainly. And again, you get back to this issue about when in Rome. Is this a case of that should be taken on board? Or perhaps that company's lost an opportunity of having a very, very good person working for them because their way of working didn't fit in with the culture within that organisation.
So, Richard, in today's programme overall, we've talked about time and we've talked about adapting to different cultures. But overall, what piece of advice would you give to our workers abroad?
Well, I think the main thing is that if you want to be effective in the culture that you're going into, you need to be aware of your own attitude to time and task. If you come from a culture which is more flexible and perhaps focuses on relationships more, then you will need to adjust that if you come into a culture which is much more focused on getting things done in a short period of time and much more linear in its time management. Vice versa, if you are coming from a culture such as the UK, Germany or the US and you're going into a culture where time is flexible, where relationships are more important, you will need to make some major adjustments.
So you don't just get frustrated whichever type of culture you come from, you try and make adjustments.
And it's back to that lovely competency of having flexibility.
Thanks very much, Richard. Well, that's all the time we've got for this programme. In the next one, we'll be looking at the small problem of status. But for now, we leave you with Chris, an advice on how to really get to understand another culture.
You can always read about another country. You can read a travel guide. You can watch television and reports on television and read newspapers. But the only way really to get to know people, to understand their ideas and their ethical and social background, the only way to do that is really to visit a country and even better to live in a country.